Please turn in your Old Testaments to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We'll look at that passage here in just a minute. If you want to, you can turn over to Romans 5 as well. Put your finger on Ecclesiastes 2, and we'll read Romans 5, 1 through 5 here in a minute. So Daniel talked me into continuing this series on American idols. And if you will remember, we talked about the idol of materialism in the first sermon. And then we came back and talked about that terrible, dirty little four-letter word, S-E-L-F, which is selfishness. And we talked about the issues with materialism and selfishness, but we also talked about how to chop that idol down, okay? And that's what we're going to do. Ooh, I'm thankful that I'm going to have that. That could have been a problem. Thank you. And that's so, with that thought in mind, we're going to continue this series on American idols as it relates to pursuing pleasure. I think that's a real problem here in these United States and around the world. I think it's an idol that we need to chop down. Let's talk about that here for just a minute. I want to turn your attention to Romans chapter 5. I want to look at verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character. Watch it now, folks. We're going to need to come back here, and we're going to need to put our arms around this. Proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I want to make it clear from the start that God is not, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, God is not anti-pleasure. It's no coincidence that he has provided food for us that tastes good, that he has provided us the ability to make music that is good, that he has given us our spouse, and in that marriage covenant, we can experience pleasure beyond explanation. It's no coincidence that we live in a beautiful world. Say what you want. And it keeps thriving within itself. No matter how much it is that people talk about the pollution and all of the issues going on with the dirtiness of the environment, I'm here to tell you that when you go to Glacier National Park or when you go to the snow-capped mountains there in Colorado, it's just beautiful. And it brings me so much pleasure. It takes my breath away. It's no coincidence that it's fun and pleasurable to be in love, young love, and to spend time with your children. God created us to experience pleasure. It's why we have the capacity to laugh and to enjoy each other. It's one of the things that separates us from the animal world that we live in. However, for centuries there have been people who have tried measuring spirituality by their ability to deny themselves a certain amount of pleasure. And they do it for two reasons. They think that such suffering will help them overcome the temptations of the flesh. If I can just suffer enough, I won't be tempted by the devil. And they think that God is pleased when they subject themselves to some kind of discomfort, like wearing a shirt made of wire or putting on some kind of a t-shirt that is made out of porcupine hair. Throughout the ages, Christians have used these methods to deny themselves pleasure. And some of them would beat themselves, cut themselves, cause themselves all kinds of self-inflicted punishment of some kind or another. They'd refuse to eat, refuse to marry, refuse to drink, refuse to sleep, refuse to laugh, and on and on and on. God doesn't want us to spend our time on this earth torturing ourselves. He wants us to take care of ourselves. He wants us to enjoy ourselves while we are here, and he wants us to serve others. The reason people think that they should subject themselves in some way to hardship or denying pleasure is because of 1 Peter 1, verse 4. 1 Peter 1, verse 4. Do you know what that says? He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. The principle is true. But let me tell you something about suffering. You don't have to seek it out. You don't have to seek out suffering. You don't have to play hide and seek with suffering. Okay, because I'm going to tell you something. It is going to hunt you down. It will hunt you down. You don't have to inflict it on yourself. It finds you. Life throws enough stuff at you to ensure that you're going to get your fair share of suffering. And I'm here to tell you something, young people. If you haven't experienced it yet, you will. I promise you, you will. You better be ready for it. You better be ready for some financial problems, especially if you don't know how to control your credit card. You better be ready for some health problems if you make it to 60 years old. Let me tell you about it. I've been to the doctor more in the last 5 years than I'd ever been in my whole life. You're going to find problems in relationships with your own family. You're going to find problems within the church with relationships that you're going to have to work on. You don't need to deny yourself to guarantee affliction in this life. I can promise you. It's going to happen. It's guaranteed. So some have taken this anti-pleasure approach to life and they thought would make them more spiritual. But the flip side of that, and I want to talk about that this morning too, there's a flip side to that. And what's the flip side? Do you remember the old slogan, if it feels good, what? Do it. If it feels good, do it. This catchphrase, now that's kind of exited our vernacular. You know, it's even been decades, I guess now, 20, maybe 25, 30 years ago, I don't know. But the mentality still exists. For many people, the purpose of our existence is to feel good. The purpose of our existence is to be happy. The purpose of our existence is to experience as much pleasure as possible right here, right now. The fact is that God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be filled with joy. He wants you to be filled with pleasure. There's no question about it, but there is a catch. You can't achieve happiness through the pursuit of pleasure. King Solomon was the richest man of his day. We know he was the wisest man to ever live. God gave him that ability. I want you to read this. He said, I said to myself, come now, let's give pleasure a try. He had everything else, right? So let's give pleasure a try. Let's look for the good things in life. But I found that this too was meaningless. It is silly to be laughing all the time, I said. What good does it do to seek only pleasure? After much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine while seeking wisdom. I clutched at foolishness. In this way, I hope to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. That's verses 1 through 3. Now let's look at verses 10 through 11 if your Bibles are open. Anything I wanted, I took. I did not restrain myself from any joy. I even found great pleasure in hard work and additional reward for all my labors. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless. It was like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. There's a problem with pleasure seeking. What is the problem with pleasure seeking? Solomon, I think, could have been writing about this in 2021. He could have written about this 2 months ago. All right? We want to feel good. This culture wants to feel good right now. We demand immediate gratification. We demand it today. We don't want to wait. We don't want to wait for anything. Solomon's words illustrate the problem. If it feels good, do it. Lifestyle. It causes problems, I think, in three areas. And I want to talk to you about those three areas this morning. And then we're going to talk about how to chop it down. All right? First of all, it causes you to think only of yourself. The problem with pleasure seeking. When you live for immediate gratification, ladies and gentlemen, every experience is defined by what you personally get out of it. This mentality, I believe, seeps into the body of Christ. And I think it's the reason why there are so many of our brethren who seek to change the culture of the church in a way that brings on this gratification that they want. I want to be sure and say that right. We sometimes think worship exists to satisfy us. And that's the way we look at it. You say, Steve, well, I don't know if that bothers me. Well, I'll tell you what, it bothers me. Because I find myself in the middle of that. We want the services to be entertaining. Don't say that our brethren around the world have not fallen into this. We want it to meet our so-called intellectual capabilities. All right? We want the sermon to be interesting. We want it to be entertaining, and we absolutely want it to be short. You know, I got to tell y'all something, man. I was just thinking about this here this morning. You know, these illustrations, pow, they just hit me all of a sudden. You know, and when I was a little boy, we oftentimes, after church services was over, and I know you guys did this too. Well, maybe y'all don't do this now anymore. But anyway, our parents would give us the spare change they had, you know, for the collection plate. So we'd have, you know, normally they wouldn't give us too much change because we'd be playing with it and throwing stuff and everything else. But the idea was to get the change in the collection plate and to begin to understand that. And so when the collection plate came by, we would drop our money in the collection plate, right? Well, anyway, after services, you know, all of us would go outside and be playing football and all that while mom and dad and all were talking to everybody and spending all that time doing that when we could be going to lunch. All right, but we'd get out there and we'd be playing. And I remember that there was one little boy, and I'm just going to call him Sam Jones, okay, for what it is. But it's one little boy, his mom called him, you know, from playing outside and says, "Hey, Sam, come on, it's time to go. It's time to go eat everything." And so the boy, you know, piled into the back of the car. His mama leaned over and looked at him like that, and she says, "Hey, Sam," she says, "what'd you think about our worship service?" He says, "Pretty good show for a quarter." So we sit back, we relax, and we hope we enjoy the show. Some judge the value of each Sunday based on how much they like it. And I hear people say how much I personally got out of it. Well, let me ask you something, ladies and gentlemen, and my dear brethren. How much did you personally put in it? The it better be fun or I'm out of here mentality causes us to think only of ourselves. I'm not accusing you of having the wrong attitude about our worship here at Bel Air. I am telling you this has driven some of our, I'm going to use this word, it has driven some of our brethren to be more progressive in their ideology. Point number two causes you to think only of today. If we think that life is about immediate gratification, then again, as I said before, we want it right now. That's the way it is here in America. The value of everything is judged based on how much it pleases you today. Again, there's that little four-letter word, self, all right? If a relationship goes through a rough patch, well, then just bail. You don't have to put up with anything, just bail. There doesn't have to be anything that's long-term, just bail. Why do I need to put myself through this misery? Life is too short. I don't know if y'all ever heard the story in the major media about the law firm in Chicago. Did y'all hear about, and this was some years ago, really caused an uproar with a billboard in Chicago that this law firm put up. And on that billboard, sadly, were provocatively dressed women. There was a caption. I'm still shocked by this, I got to tell you. But here's the caption, okay? I want you to imagine everything but the provocatively dressed women. The billboard is up there, and this is what it says. Life is short, get a divorce. Well, let me tell you what was underneath that. Life is short, have an affair. Forget about the till death do us part portion of that to which you agreed in covenant before God during your wedding vows. It's all about have fun today. Look, you're saying, Steve, why are you talking to us about this? Because I believe this affects young people today, young married folks in the church. That's why I'm talking about it. That's why I'm talking about it. It's the same with work. I see it all the time. Your job gets tedious. You start having some little kind of issue. It gets rough. Your boss yells at you once or twice or three times. And what is it that people do today? Well, I just go find another job. I don't have to put up with this. Or better than that, I'll just stay home and take the government's money. Or if the church doesn't fulfill you or entertain you like it used to, then you just hop to another church or you stay home and watch ESPN Classics. After all, I can watch it on video right now. And I'm not saying anything bad about our video and all that we're doing now. I think it's one of the great things that came out of COVID. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You need to be here if you can. Right here. I want to see you face to face. I want to hug you if you let me. I don't want no more knuckle bumping and all that. I want some handshakes and some hugs. I'll even take a kiss by one of the ladies right there. Slobber on me, I don't care. Do you understand what it is I'm trying to tell you? That it better be fun or I'm out of here mentality is the enemy of endurance and it's the enemy of true and lasting happiness. That's point number two. Point number three is this, it leads to loneliness. When you spend your life pursuing immediate gratification through pleasure, you ultimately will find yourself alone. You can't build lasting happiness or satisfying relationships when your only concern is about how you feel today and about what it is that you think and about what it is that you want to do. When immediate gratification is your top priority, it causes you to think only of yourself. It causes you to think only of today, and it leads to isolation. It leads to despair. It leads to loneliness. I know this. And so does Solomon. It was like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. Nothing could satisfy him. Nothing was good enough. Nothing was worth working for. All right, let's talk about how we're going to chop this idol down. How are we going to destroy this idol? How are we going to do that? We all struggle with the it better be fun and stimulating or I'm out of here mentality. I think we all do. How do you destroy this idol of immediate gratification? Well, we learned about it in Romans chapter 5. What I really wish I could do is ask everybody to raise their hand and let me hear what you got to say about Romans chapter 5. How do we do it? Romans chapter 5 teaches us through mastering the spiritual power of hope. By mastering hope, hope destroys the idol of pleasure. Hope chops it down at the root. Many feel like they have to get what they want right now. They think it's right now or never. If I don't get it right now, I will never be able to get it. They have no assurance of the future. They have no belief in the positivity of the future. So get it while the getting's good. Why wait till tomorrow? I gotta have it now. I'll tell you something. I'm guilty of this, and you guys know that because, you know, that iPhone and all that. You remember I told you about that? Muffy got her iPhone. I couldn't stand it. I get that feeling I gotta have some more cowboy boots or some kind of clothes. I gotta go have it. I gotta have it right now. I can't wait for it. That's the attitude. I wanna be sure you understand. That's it. I can't wait till tomorrow. I got to have it today. Tomorrow is not going to be good enough. I need to live it up while I have the chance, while I am breathing, while I am in good health. This might be the last opportunity that I have to feel good. I look at it the same way I do about retirement. Guys, I'm guilty of this. I'm looking for 64. Give me 64. Give me 65. I'm 61 years old. Give me 65. I'm out. I don't even know if I'm going to be alive next year or 3 hours from now. And I'm already just all scrunched up and shaken and bothered by the fact that, you know, I'm having to wait till 64. It can't get here quick enough because I want to retire. I want to go to the mountains. I may be an invalid. Hope teaches us to take a different approach. And I need to learn this. Hope teaches us, and it teaches me to say this, okay? I don't have to have it all today. I need to be satisfied with what I have today because my future is certain in Jesus Christ. I don't have to worry about it, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be good. All of it's going to be good because my future is certain. I know blessings are waiting for me. I know my best days are yet to come. You know, I can't help but think about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as it regards mastering the spiritual power of hope. Hope, ladies and gentlemen, is not wishful thinking. And I know this because of what Paul teaches us. There are three things that will endure. What are they? Faith, hope, and love. We know what faith is, we know what love is, but how do you define hope? In English, we often use a word hope as a synonym for wishful thinking. Have you heard that? We say, I hope it doesn't rain today. Don't we do that? Especially if you want to go to the ballpark. Or, man, I hope it doesn't rain today. Or if you want to play golf, how many times, man, I hope it doesn't rain today, but the skies are dark and, you know, the wind is blowing and you can smell the rain. I hope it doesn't rain today. We say, I hope that we don't have to wait too long for a table at Taste of Texas. I do not want to wait too long for a table. And the restaurant is always packed for people. That's one of my favorite places beside La Griglia to go is Taste of Texas. And every time I say, boy, I hope that we don't have to wait for a table. The biblical concept of hope is different than ours. It's different than mine. It's not about wishful thinking. It's about waiting expectantly. I am expecting something to happen. In other words, I am optimistic that it is going to happen. And I have to train myself daily. The dictionary defines optimism as a general it's a general disposition to expect the best things in all things. To expect the best things in all things. So when you live your life connected to Jesus Christ our Savior, when you live your life that way, you have every reason to expect the best in all things, whatever it is that they may be. Now, does that mean that everything is always going to be easy? No, it doesn't. Because everything is not going to be easy. Do you mean that you're never going to have hard times, Steve? No, you're going to have hard times. Does it mean that you're never going to have to do without? No. It does mean that we can live by the words of Paul. If this thing will work, we can live by the words of Paul. Man, we are having trouble with our system, aren't we? That's the reason why. There we go. Those are the words by Paul we're going to live by. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. When you're walking with Christ, you can live with a positive expectation in all things. All right, I want to be sure that you get this. When you know that everything will work out for the best tomorrow, or the next day, it's going to work out for the best. Whatever that is, it may not be pretty, but it's going to work out for the best. So the need for immediate gratification, you see, it loosens its grip on you. It doesn't have you by the throat anymore. So you could define hope as a willingness to say, not today. I can wait. I can wait. It doesn't have to be today, because you know God's yes is on its way. God's yes is coming. And when your heart is anchored in hope, temporary pleasures of this world, I'm here to tell you, will lose their appeal. And that's what I, ladies and gentlemen, am working on right now. Because that is an issue that I'm having to deal with. I should be expecting whatever it is that God thinks is best for me. Because whatever that is what is best for me. Chop down this idea, this idol of pursuing pleasure and immediate gratification that has to occur right now. You don't want that. Now, let's talk about how to develop the habit of hope. I think you need to make a list. Make a list of what you're waiting for. What is hope? Hope is about expectation. It's not about wishful thinking. It's about expectation. Stop thinking about everything that's wrong at the moment. See, that's the other problem I've got is negativity. We are very negative people. We concentrate on what's negative. Start thinking about what God has promised to make right. What is right? And when we go through hard times, we're often tempted to medicate that pain with a dose of some type of indulgent pleasure. Immediate gratification. I just really believe it becomes an idol for me. It becomes an idol for us. It becomes a means of escape. That's why people overreact in their response to stress. Man, am I one to talk? My job stinks. My marriage is going down the drain. But I'll tell you what, that half gallon of Bluebell ice cream in the freezer, dude, let me tell you something, that will make it better. And it's why some people develop addictions. They spend all their time pursuing some meaningless hobby that they have, or they surf websites that they ought to avoid, or they drink alcohol. they're people who drink alcohol to get away. They become drunk. They take pills. They smoke dope. Or they get tangled up in relationships that are wrong from the very start. Make a waiting list when things are tough. I won't always be alone. Put that down on your list. I will not always be alone. I can remember what alone was all about. I'm going to tell you what. I was 29 years old before I became not alone. I didn't think that day would ever come. But I'm not alone. I will soon get victory over this sin. You're ate up with some kind of sin. You've got some kind of issue that you're dealing with. Well, let me tell you what. You put it on your list. I will soon get the victory over this sin. I'm going to get the victory in Christ. The problem at work will be resolved soon. Put that on your list. On and on and on. Because Romans chapter 5 verse 2 says, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully, what? Look forward to sharing God's glory. I hope you study that and I hope you look at that. When you're focused on what's ahead, you realize you don't have to have everything right now. And that's okay, ladies and gentlemen. It's all right. So that's our first point. What is our second? Take a look at your problems. For most people, problems are an annoyance. They are an annoyance. I just want them to disappear. If there's a problem, I want it to disappear. For them, problems serve no good purpose. And for me, it's the same thing. I don't want any problems. I want smooth waters. But that's not how the Bible looks at our problems. The Bible tells us, verse 3, Romans chapter 5, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they're good for us. They help us learn to endure. I don't like problems. Well, God says you need to like problems because they're going to help you. They're going to develop your character. Paul goes on to say in this passage, endurance develops character. All right? And character develops confident expectation in God's salvation. Did you get that? Endurance develops character. And character develops confident expectation. Hope. Don't you see? Keep this in mind. Every day that you endure makes you stronger. You know, I'll tell you what. I was recently with this guy. He's a big man. Boy, I'm going to tell you what. He must work out all the time. You know, he's got some Thunder rockets for arms and stuff like that. And I was with him here the other day, and he was away from home, and he had brought all his weights with him. And he had all these weights, man, he was carrying those weights all around and lifting all these weights and all. They made me tired looking at the guy carrying all those weights and all of that. Well, let me tell you what. Endurance develops character. He was about getting strong and taking care of his physical body, and that character developed that expectation. The hope for just that. He wasn't willing to quit because endurance, he knew, would make him stronger. Don't try to escape problems through some kind of distracting source of pleasure, whatever it is that might be. You know, you don't hear people talking anymore about drug addiction in the church. I'm here to tell you, there are drug addicts in the church. There are pill-popping people in the church. There's dope-smoking in the church. There are, you know, they thought that the 70s, when I was growing up in high school, was the only time that anybody smoked dope. Well, I'm here to tell you something. That's just not true. It's worse than that. It's called meth. I'm just going to say this because it's a problem for me too. I've gone and put on 15 pounds since this COVID thing came on. I'm in the process of putting it down right now, but it would be a whole lot better if I didn't have the hot fudge sundae, because that's not going to fill the void that's in my life. Okay? But it will make your clothes fit tighter. That drink that you think you need will not take the edge off. Don't be confused. There are godly Christian people who are drinking to take the edge off. I said godly Christian people. Godly Christian people can make mistakes. That's a mistake. It's just going to take you to the edge, alcohol. It'll do nothing but take you to the edge. I don't care how little bit of it you use. It will take you to the edge, and then you know what it'll do? It'll push you off. It'll push you off the edge. Can you imagine drinking in your home in front of your children? What's that an invitation to do? Unbelievable. Don't try to escape, ladies and gentlemen. And every day that you endure and refuse to indulge yourself, you are developing strength. And that develops character in your life. I want you to remember the words of Isaiah. I need to remember them too. Those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high. Did you hear that? Those that wait on the Lord. We've got to learn to wait. Those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Take a second look at your problems. Examine your problems. They are ready to do you a favor if you're ready to wait on God. You would never have thought your problems will do you a favor, but they will. And then last of all, and then we will be finished. And this is the thing that we don't think about, nor do we give God the Holy Spirit credit. We first make a list of what you're hoping for. We second look at our problems that we're dealing with. And third, we seek the Holy Spirit's help. Romans 5:5, and this expectation will not disappoint us, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. You must realize and understand that you can't successfully endure difficult days without the help of the Holy Spirit. We have got to get this through our minds, ladies and gentlemen. We have got to let this resonate. We must study the Holy Spirit and understand why God gave us the precious Holy Spirit for those of us who have named Christ. If you want to become the person God wants you to be, you better understand you can't do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. He will strengthen you for the days to come. If you don't believe that, you have not read. He will fill you with God's love. He will remind you of God's promises. What else? He gives you the ability to endure. All right? He'll help you endure. He'll give you the power to overcome. Where do you think the power comes from? You think you make that power on your own? He provides opportunity for you to grow and to develop it. Do you want to develop the habit of hope? Of that confident expectation? Seek the Holy Spirit. Pray for his guidance. Pray for his providential care. That's how it is that you grow. You grow in truth. And you grow in him. Ask him to fill you with his presence and with his knowledge. Ask him to fill you with endurance. And ask him to bear fruit, help you bear fruit in your life so that you can endure hard times. Help me, Lord. I believe that immediate gratification has become an American idol. We will do anything we can to avoid the pain of endurance. We don't want to wait, but it's waiting. It is in waiting that we experience God's power. Psalms chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry, and he lifted me out of the pit of despair and out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing. I really like that. He's given me a new song to sing. God is not anti-pleasure. You want me to tell you what God is? He's not anti-pleasure. You want to know what he is? He's anti-quick fix. That's what he is. He's anti-quick fix. This is what our pursuit of pleasure often is a quick fix. We're just trying to get out of having to deal with our problems. Put your hope in God. Wait on him. Wait on the Lord. Isn't that a song? He will give you whatever you need to face today, and he will fill your life with a pleasure greater than you could possibly ever imagine. I love Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. You will show me the way of life. You want pleasure? You want joy? You want to experience gratitude? You want to live this life the best way it can be lived? Ask him to show you how. Granting me the joy of your presence in the Holy Spirit and the pleasure of living with you forever. That's on time's side of eternity, and that is in eternity. I believe that pursuing pleasure is an idol. I believe that immediate gratification is an idol that will destroy you. Let's chop it down. The next time I preach, I think I want to talk about the idol of success. That'd be the next sermon if y'all are willing to listen to another one. Thank you for your kind attention, every last one of you. I appreciate you for listening and giving me the opportunity to speak from God's word. I'm not perfect, but it is. Don't listen to me, listen to it. Thank you for this opportunity. Maybe there's someone here in the audience that needs the prayers of the church. It might be that you have studied the Word of God and understand what is required of you in order to come in contact with the blood of Jesus. Maybe it is that you want to obey the gospel of Christ, which is the only way that you can become a part of his family and accept the wonderful gift of grace. We can talk with you about that. And if you've learned and understand what you need to do, we have a baptistry. We can baptize you into Christ. If you hear, have heard the word, and you believe with all of your heart Jesus is the Son of God, you confess your sins, you repent, you turn away from that which you've, the way you've been living, and you turn towards God, we'll baptize you for the forgiveness of sins, for to eradicate those sins that have been in your life and put you in the family of God. Maybe there's people here that just need the prayers of the congregation. You know, there's nothing wrong with us just gathering together down here after the service and praying for one another. We're supposed to do that. Okay? If you feel like you need to come forward and make a confession for wrongs that have been done publicly, I want to be sure you understand that that is available here for you as well. But if you need the prayers of the congregation, you just need the prayers, you need us to pray for you, well, you can either come down here or we'll all gather together after the service and we'll pray for you. And we'll be a family to you. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, please come while we stand and sing.